1. Introduction. Welcome to our exhibition celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Cosmos series and book, a major work by astronomer Carl Sagan. Here you will learn about its history over a series of panels, videos, and a variety of original artifacts. At the entrance to the exhibition, you are greeted by John Lomberg. Hello! Thanks for attending this exhibition at the Tenerife Museum of Science and the Cosmos. I'm John Lomberg, a space artist and science journalist. I was lucky enough to work with my great friend Carl Sagan for over 25 years. I fondly remember our time together working on the Cosmos series. It was a huge success, with more than 500 million viewers in 60 countries. With Cosmos, I was in charge of the artistic direction. In this exhibition, you can see my artwork, documents, and souvenirs from the entire period of our collaboration, spanning the moment I met Carl in 1972 until his death. At that time, we were working on the film Contact. He never got to see the final results, but he did see the illustrations we prepared, and which you can see here. I hope you enjoy the exhibition. Lomberg was Sagan's artist, associate, and friend from the moment they met in 1972 until the scientist's death in 1996. They shared a mutual passion for understanding the universe we live in visiting landscapes from other worlds, and above all, a fascination for the potential existence of other civilizations in the galaxy, our brothers and sisters in the cosmos, as they called them. In his work, Lomberg created the visual means to transmit to the world all those ideas that bubbled away in Sagan's mind, discovering in art one of the most powerful ways to bring science to the public. Additionally, in his role as a science journalist, Lomberg covered some of the high points of space exploration together with Sagan, such as the landings of the Viking probes on Mars or Voyager's arrival on Jupiter. In this exhibition, you can enjoy works of art created by John Lomberg as the project's artistic director to illustrate Cosmos, as well as the original drawings, sketches or storyboards used in the production of the series. Added to these are illustrations from other works created together with Carl Sagan, and even a few objects of a more personal nature, such as the first works that gave rise to their collaboration or the last letter sent to him by Sagan. Two. Cosmos, Ship of the Imagination. At the back of the room you will find the Ship of the Imagination. In the first episode of Cosmos, we bought this ship with Sagan to set off on an amazing journey from the outer reaches of the universe to our very own galaxy. On the display panels to your left, you can see some of the characteristic illustrations from Cosmos, such as the iconic close-up of our galaxy or the works called The Backbone of the Night, Infinite Regression, and The Great Chain of Being. The last images are from Nucleus, the sequel that could have been, but which was never ultimately produced. The documentary, which Sagan and Lomberg were already working on, discussed atomic physics, nuclear energy, and the Cold War. It delivered a strongly pacifist message in the midst of the socio-political atmosphere of the arms race. The ABC television channel had bought the rights to broadcast it to the masses, but the political tensions it triggered saw the project being blocked. Carl Sagan was a persona non grata to the Reagan administration due to his pacifist, anti-nationalist discourse, his determination to work with Soviet scientists, and its criticism of the Star Wars program promoted by President Ronald Reagan. In this political climate, the Nucleus project ended up being cancelled, and viewers around the world were left without ever finding out what Sagan's second major work would have been like. 3. Display case. Exhibited in this display case are various documents of great historical importance. A copy of the page from the book can be seen, in which Carl Sagan dedicates this to Lomberg. To John with admiration, delight in our friendship and love, Carl. Beside this is a page from the transcript of a production meeting in which the initials of the three participants appear, Carl Sagan, CS, Adrian Malone, AM, and John Lomberg, JL. They were discussing the introduction to the first episode. You can also see a page from the script about a scene featuring the golden record from the Voyager probes. The storyboard is the original sketch created by Lomberg for the animation of the approach to the galaxy in episode 1. Displayed to the right are the sheets used to create the camera effect that produced a 3D sensation in this scene. The Cosmos book was just as popular as the series, hence in the display case you can also see an example of the first edition personally signed by Carl Sagan and John Lomberg. On the display panel, the covers of different editions of the famous book in several languages are also reproduced. Four, Lomberg. In this area at the back of the room, you will find an area dedicated to the artist's personal items. The works No and Sunrise, which are reproduced on this panel, played a role in the first contact between John Lomberg and Carl Sagan. In 1972, Lomberg sent him these works together with a long letter of admiration for Sagan's work on astronomy and SETI, subjects Lomberg was fascinated by. To remind you, SETI is the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. Sagan replied in turn, expressing his interest in the artist's work and inviting him to meet a few days later at Toronto Airport, where Sagan would be catching a connecting flight back to New York after a trip to Canada to observe an eclipse. But in his letter, Sagan forgot to mention the flight number or which city it was coming from. Back then, there were no telecommunications like we have nowadays, so neither knew what the other looked like. The meeting seemed doomed to failure. So what happened? Lomberg thought that, interestingly, this was a problem with many similarities to SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence. How could two people looking for each other successfully meet without having agreed on a meeting point? Lomberg had the idea to write Drake's equation in large letters on his portfolio and walk through the airport with it. Said equation is related to the probability of finding life in the universe. Sagan had participated in the meeting of the Order of the Dolphin in 1961, where Frank Drake presented his famous equation. Lomberg knew it thanks to the book Intelligent Life in the Universe by Sagan and Shlofsky, which he had read in 1970 and which had made a profound impression on him. The strategy worked. Sagan recognized the reference, approached him, and the two engaged in a two-hour-long conversation on astronomy, art, and literature. Just before leaving, Sagan explained to him that he was putting together a new educational book, one which would eventually become The Cosmic Connection, and proposed a partnership. How would you like to do the illustrations? Think about it, and if you're interested, come to see me in Ithaca. Thus began a close relationship which they would maintain until the end of his days. In this spot, the first works that Lomberg sent to Sagan can be seen, as well as some more personal works by the artist, not connected to their partnership. In particular, the spacesuit is a humorous nod to the science fiction of the 80s. You can also see photos and memories of the artist at different stages in the production of his works. 5. The Cosmic Connection. The next area to the right deals with one of the topics that fascinated Carl Sagan the most, the idea of extraterrestrial life. His book, The Cosmic Connection, the first he worked with John Lomberg on, dealt with this subject. Seen here is a replica of the Golden Record from the Voyager probes. The mission of these probes was to explore the furthest planets in our solar system and then lose themselves forever in the vastness of interstellar space. Sagan decided to include on the probes a record with information about life on Earth and the human species, in case these artifacts might one day be recovered by a far-flung civilization who happened upon them lost in space. They are like our message in a bottle, thrown into an immense sea. Lomberg was the project's artistic director. Here you can see some of the many photos and drawings that were included on the Golden Record as a message from humanity to the stars. Carl Sagan was one of the founders of the SETI Institute and the Planetary Society. In this display case, the Planetary Society's first logo can be seen, designed by John Lomberg. 6. Mars. Continuing towards the exit, to the right there is an area devoted to the exploration of Mars, which plays a very important role in Cosmos, as well as in Carl Sagan's career as a scientist. His research career is less well known to the general public than his work as an educator, but he also made important contributions to the development of planetary exploration. Upon his death in 1996, NASA renamed the Pathfinder robot on Mars as the Sagan Memorial Station. Displayed in this area are some of the first photos taken in 1976 by the Viking 1 probe from the surface of the Red Planet. At that time, colour printers didn't exist. These photos, on loan from John Lomberg, are some of the originals developed in the darkroom of the control centre at JPL. They are signed by the scientists who worked on them, including Sagan himself. Also featured is technical documentation, which includes studies of landing sites, along with the landing uncertainty areas, elliptical, and letters between the members of the mission team and John Lomberg himself, who, at Sagan's request, designed the first logo for the Viking missions. In Cosmos, Carl Sagan described the experience of seeing those photos for the first time. I remember being transfixed by the first lander image to show the horizon of Mars. This was not an alien world, I thought. I knew places like it in Colorado and Arizona and Nevada. There were piles of rocks and sand and something sticking out in the distance. Everything was so natural and spontaneous, like any landscape on Earth. Mars was a place I would, of course, have been surprised to see a grizzled prospector emerge from behind a dune leading his mule. But at the same time, the idea seemed appropriate. Nothing remotely like it ever entered my mind in all the hours I spent examining the Venera 9 and 10 images of the Venus surface. One way or another, I knew this was a world to which we would return. The Phoenix mission landed on Mars in 2007 and took with it recordings of greetings from Carl Sagan and Arthur C. Clarke, amongst others, for the Red Planet's future colonizers. These greetings can be heard on the screen. Mars is trending once again. This year provides an optimal launch window, the most favourable in the past 18 years. That's why, together with the huge scientific interest in the Red Planet, a large number of missions have been launched by several different countries. Today, we know that back in the beginnings of the solar system, Mars was a hospitable planet with a denser atmosphere as well as rivers and oceans of liquid water. Researching the possibility that it may once have harboured life, and may even still retain some residual level of microbiology, is one of the great aims of these new missions to Mars. Seven, Contact. Carl Sagan's final project was the film Contact. Unfortunately, Sagan never got to see the end results. He died a few months before the premiere as a result of cancer he'd been fighting for 2 years. Contact was a Warner Brothers production starring Jodie Foster and directed by Robert Zemeckis. The film is based on the novel of the same name written by Carl Sagan and published in 1985. Sagan wrote the film script together with his wife Anne Dryan. On this panel, you can see the illustration created in 1985 by John Lomberg for the front cover of the novel. Also seen are the storyboards used to create some of the film's scenes. The first two storyboards, Leaving the Earth and Leaving the Galaxy, make up the first scene of the film. The third, The Wormhole Cometh, has an interesting story behind it. It was designed with the scientific advice of Kip Thorne, recently awarded the Nobel Prize for Physics for the discovery of gravitational waves. In the film, Jodie Foster's character travels through a series of wormholes, almost as though they were underground stations. After reaching the star Vega during the first trip, she sees appearing before her the entry to a second wormhole, which connects to the centre of the galaxy. Kip Thorne insisted on departing from the typical representation of a tunnel through space or a vortex like those used to depict black holes. Rather, he proposed that what should be seen be a distorted image of space at the other side. The image appears convex to us, as though seen through the peephole of a door. Perhaps given the scene was already fairly complicated for viewers to follow, the director decided to forgo these scenes and use the allegorical tunnel, disregarding Thorne's advice. In the display case, you can see a first edition signed personally by Carl Sagan and John Lomberg. There is also a letter sent by Carl Sagan, his final message to Lomberg before he died. Dear John, thanks for your letter of last month, and please forgive me for being so slow in answering it. I'm told that I'm making real progress towards recovery, although there are bad days as well as good ones. We were very pleased to hear the good news about your family, and as far as work goes, Annie and I have both been struggling with the script rewriters. I hope this process will reach an asymptotic conclusion soon, permitting us to return to other matters of the film, including art. I like your beach and wave, but it may be a little too cerebral for the studio. Maybe not, though. We'll have a chance to talk. With warm good wishes, cordially, Carl Sagan.